The title of this message today is The Year of the Hidden Arrow. And I want you to open your Bibles with me, please, to Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 2. This is the word of God concerning Israel, but it very much applies to you if you will rise up to receive it. So Isaiah chapter 49 verse 2 says, He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of His hand He hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and hid me or concealed me in His quiver. Would you say that portion of the scripture with me? He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in His quiver. Let's pray. Lord, we welcome the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, to come and bring revelation to us today. Lord, we ask that You would lift our hearts in Your hand and move us into Your purpose. Give us faith for this year that is before us, that we might walk in purpose and power. Lord, we cannot go forward without You and Your presence going before us. And so, Lord, we say yes to Your anointing and to Your blessings over us, and we receive Your word with gladness. We pray it now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you look at verse 3, so that we don't go wrong in our exegesis of this scripture, it says, He said to me, You are my servant Israel, in whom I will display my splendor. So I want to just take a minute to tell you that this scripture is first given to Israel. What the Lord is saying is that at an appointed time, the Lord is going to bring Israel out of His arrow pouch, out of His quiver. And He's going to, in the end days, polish the arrowhead of the people of Israel and shoot them forth into the nations for His end time purpose. It's important that when we read an Old Testament scripture, we look at the verses around it and give it its due honor and purpose. But having said that, the Lord says that all of those things in the Old Testament are for an example to us. And we, that is you, Gentiles, people who are not Jews by birth or blood, the Bible says, in coming to Christ, you have been grafted into the family of God. And you receive all of the nourishment and the blessings and the covenants that were for Israel. Now they also, in some spiritual sense, apply to you. There is still a distinction. For example, the land of Israel belongs to the Jewish people. If you're a Gentile, it probably doesn't belong to you. Although in the book of Ezekiel, it says that some Gentiles shall be brought to the land of Israel and given a portion of the land with the Jewish people. But there are other promises that were given to the people of Israel. I will bring you back from all the lands where you have been scattered. I will bring you back to your land. That's a word, a promise for the Jewish people specifically. But when it comes to being like Jesus, having eternity, immortality, and the purpose of God, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the power for miracles, the glory of God in your life, that's for you. And it's for every Jewish person who receives Jesus as Messiah as well. So now let's look at what this scripture will mean to us. For me, I believe the Lord has spoken very clearly that this year is a year where hidden arrows in the purposes of God will be brought into view, and God will shoot them forth with power and miracles, and many mighty things will happen. I believe it's true for my life. And if it's true for my life, I believe it's true for your life. Because somehow God has connected us together. It's important as we go forth that we receive revelation from the Lord. If you do not have revelation from the Lord, you will not have faith. And if you do not have faith, you will not have vision for your life. And if you do not have vision for your life, you'll be tested to cast off restraint, to give up, to become casual, to let go of those things that are most precious. But when you have vision and you have revelation and you have faith, then you become strong in the Lord. And you're patient, and you have self-control, and you have strength, because the anointing of the Lord takes you into the future, because there's something bigger than puddling around in the puddles. So the glory of the Lord belongs to you. The Lord says that He's come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly, to give it to you with fervor and passion. So I want to prophesy over you this morning and say this is the year of the hidden arrow. Amen. And may you be one of these hidden arrows. Amen. And may you find many hidden arrows from God coming to you, into your world, into your family. See, an arrow is a weapon of war. It's a weapon to take out the enemy so that the purposes of God can go forth. All of you understand spiritual battles to some degree. You've had the enemy of your soul come against you and against your family. Certainly you see him coming against this nation. But there's a moment in time when God hands out arrows. And he says, now take the arrow and put it in the bow and shoot it forth. You know, throughout history, there have been things that have happened in human warfare that have given a great advantage to the one who had the newest discovery. The Iron Age changed swords from being made of bronze, which bent and broke, to being made of iron, which whoever had the iron sword would win the battle. When gunpowder came, whoever had gunpowder could blow up the enemy. When tanks came, the enemy couldn't destroy the one who was coming after them. When aircraft came, the whole plan of warfare changed because now bombs were dropping from the sky. There is one other tool in human weaponry and warfare that made a quantum leap and made such a difference that whoever had this became the victors. To your surprise, maybe, it's called the longbow. And up to a certain time in history, archers had a bow that was just so long. But then in Europe, a longbow, some of them 10 feet long, were invented. Whoever had the longbow could shoot the enemy before this enemy got close enough to even fire off their arrows. Because the longbow could shoot the arrow twice or at least 1.5 times further. Well, there is a weapon that God is giving to the people of God in this year that will make all the difference. I call it the year of the hidden arrow. Now, all through Scripture, we read about this phenomena. When people calculate the situation, when they look at what's coming upon them, And they come into despair. And they come to a place of fear and loss of hope. They don't know how they're going to get forward. They don't know what they're going to do to solve this problem because it seems insurmountable. It's overtaking them. And they're undone because of it. But then God brings out something that before this time was hidden. The hidden arrow of God. It's hidden in his quiver, in his arrow pouch. You can't see it ahead of time. Why? Because it's hidden. The Lord says, I have made you a polished arrow and hidden you in my quiver. That means nobody else can see. Nobody else is giving account for that arrow. I like the story of Jesus when he is asleep in the boat. We read in Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd, this is evening time now, it's starting to get dark. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with them. Verse 37, a furious squall came up, a storm came up. And the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. That sounds like a good modern word. You've been swamped, I think, sometimes in your life. Jesus was in the stern, in the back of the boat, sleeping on a cushion. And the disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up and rebuked the wind and said to the waves, be quiet, be still. When the wind died down, it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. See, there was a hidden arrow in God's quiver. The disciples were getting to know about Jesus. They were getting to see his glory. They saw a few of his miracles. They saw him turn water into wine. They had seen him by this time heal people and cast demons out of a demoniac. But they had never seen him in charge of the atmosphere. And so they get in this boat. It's nighttime. Have you ever been in the boat at nighttime? How about your boat? Has it seemed to become night? And all of a sudden, in the midst of that moment when you can't see ahead and feels like the world has stopped and nothing is really happening, all of a sudden the storm comes and breaks in upon you. The waves come up and in a moment, a shock happens. Your boat gets swamped with water. And fear grips you and panic comes. And you wonder, you think, it looks like you could die. Some of you have faced this not so long ago. Some of you might be in it right now. Some of you are yet to face it, but you will. And that's the time when you need to know that God has some hidden arrows. It's bigger than your plans, than your thoughts, than your calculations. You cannot intellectualize yourself out of this. This is bigger than reason. It is the miraculous power of God that will come to help you. This year, some of you are going to see this. You're going to see it in such a way. And so I call upon you that when the night comes and when the water splashes up over the side of your boat, do not fear, panic, and lose hope, but look to the Lord. Say, Lord, here I am. Here I am, Lord. I'm looking now for your hidden arrows. Let them come. I think of Paul the Apostle. The Lord even warned him about this, just like I'm warning you. He said through the prophet Agabus, whoever goes up to Jerusalem shall be incarcerated, put in chains, and made a prisoner of Rome. And Paul said, I'm not only willing to become a prisoner, but to die for the name of Jesus Christ. And so he goes to Rome, and he becomes a prisoner. And then he gets taken to Caesarea on the coast, where if you come with us to Israel, we'll take you there. And he stands before Agrippa and Felix. And then he appeals to Caesar. He says, I want to bring my case before the emperor. And so these governors said, then to Rome you shall go. And in the right time, Paul, a prisoner, was put on a Roman galley ship to sail across the Mediterranean. It says that first he sailed up to Sidon, which is Lebanon, and then over to Cyprus. And from there he went through some, passed through some of the Greek islands, including Crete. But the storm, when he got to the Adriatic Sea, which is between Macedonia and Italy. You know, the northern part of the Mediterranean has these big inlets. One of them is the Aegean Sea. The other one going up alongside of Italy is called the Adriatic Sea. And the Bible says he was in the Adriatic Sea. And suddenly such a storm took hold of their boat. After the first day, the captain of the ship started to get the people to throw stuff overboard to make the boat lighter. And then they threw everything they had on the third day overboard. And then they were wrestling for their lives for 14 days. The sun never came out. It was hurricane-like winds, the Bible says. And their ship was tossed to and fro in the midst of this sea, and they were going to die. And Paul called out upon the Lord, and in the middle of the night, the angel of the Lord came, one of God's hidden arrows, and he stood beside Paul, and he said, Paul, do not be afraid, for you will not die. This trip is about the purposes of God, and no one else will die on this ship. And so in the morning, the storm's still all around. And Paul asked to be able to speak to 276 people on board. And he tells them, don't be afraid. An angel came to me last night and said we're going to live. They actually, some believed him, some weren't quite sure. And some of them put down some lifeboats. He said, if you get in the lifeboat, you will surely die. If you stay on this boat will be destroyed, but every single one of you will live. So they cut the ropes, they believed him, and they let these lifeboats go. Then the Bible says they came close to Malta. And there they hit the sands. The front of the boat was stuck fast. The back of the boat was being tossed to and fro by the waves until the whole back of the boat burst apart. And all the people grabbed a log or a plank of wood, something that was floating, and every single one of them got to shore. And while they were there, the native people in Malta made a fire for these people on the beach and gave them some food. And Paul, he got some brush, some sticks in that together, started to throw it on the fire, and all of a sudden a snake a poisonous viper comes out of the sticks and wraps around his arms. And the native people think, this guy must have been such a nasty criminal that even though he didn't get killed in the storm, now God's judgment will come upon him and this snake is going to kill him. But the Bible says that Paul shook it off and it fell into the fire. And then all the people said, he must be a god. They were Greek and Roman worshipers of Zeus and Jupiter, Hercules. They thought, this man must be one of those gods. Well, after a while, this chief official, kind of like the mayor, his name was Pontius. He brought all 276 people to his house to stay. And he fed them and looked after them. They stayed there for 3 months. During that time, Pontius gets saved. He becomes an apostle and a bishop, an elder of the church, the father of the church in Malta. 25 years later, this man, Pontius, dies as a martyr under one of the hands of the Roman emperors. And Paul goes off from that place on a new ship to Rome. Do you understand that it's Paul who planted the church in Malta? But he didn't plant it. He was one of God's hidden arrows. I have made you a polished arrow, and I have hid you in my quiver. I don't know what specifics are coming to you this year, but I want you to look unto the Lord for greater things and bigger things. This is the journey of all of those who will come into the great tribulation and serve God there. All those who will be counted very special. For the Lord says, I have made you. And then he says, I have made you a polished arrow. That's why we're reading this proclamation card. Because we want to give opportunity for the Lord to do some polishing. So every day we read this proclamation card out and we say, Holy Spirit, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you. We're not doing this for some religious program. We're doing this to be in partnership and in step with the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, so that God can make us into polished arrows. I don't want to be a fossilized arrow, a crusty old warped arrow with broken tail feathers and wrecked fletching. I do not want to be that arrow. I want to be an arrow that will fly straight, that will move with such authority under God's longbow. Do you know, at the very beginning of the book of Revelation, there is one angel who is sent forth from the throne of God. He is one of the four angels of the apocalypse. When the first seal is broken off of the scroll in the hands of God Almighty, Jesus breaks off that seal, and one of the four living creatures says, come and behold, a white horse with a rider comes forth, and in his hand is a bow. On his head is a crown, And the Bible says he is going forth to conquer. The thing is, he doesn't have any arrows. That's because he's got the hidden arrows of God. The whole book of Revelation is God's hidden arrow. The saints of the Most High God will go in his bow. He will release the purposes of God, the hidden plans of God. He initiates it all. Something is moving among us. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. I had an experience when I was in my early 20s. I had planted a church, and it was growing very quickly. Joy and I just had one little baby, and I was 24. All of our elders in the church were younger than me. And some of our main leaders, four of us, decided to go away for a week of vacation up in northern Canada, because one of the elders had some family up there who had some cottages on Lake Mindamoya, which is in an island in Lake Huron. Now, if you know the Great Lakes, there is an island on Lake Huron that's over 100 miles long. In the middle of this island on this lake is another lake. And that's where we were staying. An Indian reserve all around us, Lake Mindamoya, it's called. And we were doing some fishing. I like fishing in Canada. And so we decided, after not having such great results, that we would go out to fish at night. Because one of the elders who was part of this family establishment said, this is how you have to catch these whitefish. So the four of us bundled up, because it was mid-October in Canada, and there was ice on the edge of the lake. And we got into the boat with three or four layers of everything and our fishing gear. We looked just like three blobs in a boat. Parkas, everything, you know, and long underwear at the bottom. And then we got in the boat. Well, we were in a part of the lake that was very sheltered, but we had to go through this channel to a bigger part of the lake. When we got on this little aluminum boat, the waves were about maybe 8 inches high, just kind of slapping up against the side of the boat. And we had a motor, and we went out just as the sun was going down. When we passed through the channel, this was a bigger part of the lake, about 4 miles long, and the north winds were blowing the length of the lake, and by the time they hit us, the waves were about 4 feet high. The first wave, once we cleared the channel and got out into open water, the first wave went right over top of the boat. The second wave filled the whole boat up, and the boat turned and went upside down. We were now in freezing, icy water about a mile from shore in parkas, and the sun had just gone down, and our wives didn't expect us back for several hours. I told you I almost died 13 times. This was one of them. We looked around the lake from our place in the water. The waves were coming, every wave over our heads. The boat was upside down and we were holding on with freezing cold hands onto the ribs on the bottom of the hull. Four of us. There was only one light on the whole lake. Because in Canada, a Thanksgiving weekend, which is in the middle of October, everybody closes down their cottages in the north and they don't go back until May. So there was only one light on the lake. Every wave was coming over our heads. After a few minutes, we prayed and committed ourselves to God. We never expected to live. We couldn't control the boat. We couldn't swim to shore. We were in the middle of an icy lake. We prayed for our children, prayed for our families, prayed for the church that we were leading, and committed ourselves to God. We held on. During this time, everything got quiet except for the demons. We looked up into the sky above us and the clouds were sailing past us at such speed in the moonlight, and we could hear and see glimpses of demon entities cackling and celebrating over our death. On three occasions, one of the other guys let go, put his head down in the water. After about 20 minutes, hypothermia starts to set in, and he floated off, and I reached out and grabbed him, pulled him back to the boat, slapped him in the face, and said, "Don't you ever let go." And then it seemed like we were in a twilight zone, and everything had gone still and quiet and empty. And we were almost in a comatose state. And suddenly, the boat raced toward the shore. I looked up and I saw the trees on the shore coming past us at remarkable speed. And then my feet touched the ground. And I realized the boat had come to shore. And I looked up and there about 75 feet above us on a steep hill was the one cabin with a light. The four of us started to walk towards the shore. We were like Frankenstein, groping with our hands stretched out in a daze, bouncing in the trees. We couldn't talk. Our speech was slurred. Hypothermia had set in. One of the fellows was already crawling and scratching his way up the hill towards this cottage. I turned around and looked at one of the other guys. He was walking back out into the water, completely out of it. I took off my outer coat and followed him in the water and grabbed him and dragged him back into shore. Then I went up the hill myself. When we got to the cabin, they opened the door and we fell on the cabin floor. And there were four guys from the USA, hunters, who had come up to have one last hunt of the year and to close up the cottage. And they were cursing and swearing because they couldn't get anything to work in the cottage. They couldn't get the fire to go up the chimney. They couldn't start the refrigerator, the propane refrigerator. They couldn't make anything work. Normally, they would have gone by now into town to the restaurant to get something to eat. But they were delayed by all of the problems in the cottage. We fell on the floor. These guys didn't know what had come to visit them. And we were shaking so much, we thought we were going to die in the cottage. They called 911. Well, of course, they called the police and the ambulances, and we were taken off to the hospital. And the doctor said, 5 minutes more and all of you would have been dead. Little did we know. But after we had taken off that day from our, that evening, from our cozy cove, which was pretty wind protected, my wife, Joy, had a word from God. This was just several minutes or maybe half an hour after we had left. She went to the other wives and said, something is not right. The Holy Spirit is speaking to me. We need to pray for our husbands. Their life is in danger. She couldn't see us. We were already way out of sight. This was just the Holy Spirit. For the next hour, my wife and at least one of the other ladies were going back and forth on the beach from where we had started our journey, coming against the powers of darkness, breaking the strongholds of demonic death, and claiming the protection of angels and of the Lord. When they finally got to the hospital and we were reunited, they told us that they had been in spiritual warfare for us. I'm here. That was 35 years ago. God had a hidden arrow. Her name was Joy Wins. He had protection of his angels. We had just started a church. God was doing great things. Many, many young people were getting saved. The devil didn't like it. And he had an opportunity to take out all the leadership of the church in one drowning experience and destroy the work of God. But God took a polished arrow out of his quiver. And just when that dark demonic general was calling down for our death, he shot it. And took him back out of the way. He had his angels go to that cottage maybe months in advance to organize the trip of four American hunters. And then had another angel who had a spirit of mischief on him to foul up the works in the cottage so the guys couldn't leave. Now this year, I want to ask you, are you ready for a move of the Holy Spirit? Are you ready for miracles? Are you ready to be a polished arrow hidden in the Lord's quiver, but ready to be taken out under his leadership and shot to destroy the purposes of the devil, to speak the word of encouragement, to break off the demonic sickness, to cast out the demon, to pray in intercessory prayer, to open up the purposes of God in some community or some family? Are you ready to take your place and see the miracles of God in your life? If you don't believe in this kind of stuff, you haven't met God yet. God's been doing this all along. If you say, well, I don't believe in miracles, well, who is your God? What kind of God are you serving? It's the gods who are not gods, who are made out of stones and rocks and tree stumps, that God, the living God, mocks and says they have no power. They don't even speak. They can't perform a miracle. Call upon them to help you in the time of need. See if they will help you. The answer is they don't. But please don't make the living God like one of them. He is the living God, whose hand is not short, who never sleeps. Behold, the God of Israel does neither slumber nor sleep. He watches over you to keep you, to perform his will for you. Today is a new day. A new year is upon you. And it's time for you to cooperate with God so he can polish the arrow, so he can polish your life, so that you'll be in tune with him, so that at a moment when you least expect it, at a moment when darkness is crashing in around you, the Lord will tell you, now it is the hour for my hidden arrow. Angels will come. Plans and purposes have come. New churches may spring up. Healings will come. Whole communities can come to the Lord. Finances can come. I don't know how much you're struggling with your domestic scene. I understand. When somebody's out of work, they've got sickness in the family, or relational troubles in a marriage. That's what storms look like. That's what night looks like. But listen to the words of the Lord. I have made you like a polished arrow, and I have hidden you in my quiver. Don't let this word fall to the ground for this whole year. But call upon the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. Is it time for your hidden arrow to appear? Both for me and through me and with me. I want to pray for an anointing of God to be upon you so that you will have vision and faith and resolve and patience and power for this year that is upon you. Will you stand to your feet? Let's dedicate ourselves to the Lord with expectant hearts for a special move of the Holy Spirit. It may be that God has just brought you here today for this very message, for this very word, for this very time, because your hope was growing a bit thin. But that's the way our God is. It was a great surprise, even to the disciples. They were already the best veterans of the faith that the world had. And they didn't know how great Jesus was until he got up and spoke to the storm and said, "Be quiet!" And immediately there was calm and change came. Hold your hands out, please. And would you pray this prayer? Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for saving me. I'm looking for a miracle. I welcome the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit. Let me be a polished arrow. Hidden in your quiver. I want to serve you, Lord, and to make such a change in the world you have placed me. Here I am, Lord. Send me. And Lord, as darkness closes in on me and my family, I ask for your hidden arrows to come. Your angels, your power, your plan to destroy the works of the devil and to release us to go forward in the blessings of God. We receive your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.